This is some cooperative research with Jason Bond in Mississippi State, as well as Eddie Milholland and Donnie Miller in Louisiana. What we're looking at is the effect of pendimethalin or Pryl-H2O with S-metolachlor, co-applied with glyphosate and pyrethiobacter on cotton growth and yield. In 2008, research trial was done. Donnie conducted this trial, I conducted this trial. We're looking at the effect of glyphosate tank mix with S-metolachlor and just pyrethiobacter, dual and staple. And as you see the subsequent rate there, and these treatments were applied at 2 to 3 leaf cotton. And essentially what we found is that we had injury at 7 and 14 days from this 3-way, but by 28 days, didn't exist anymore, didn't see any visual injury, and there was no reduction in cotton yield. So you can see from the bottom treatment of glyphosate plus the dual and the staple, 38% injury at 7 days. By 14 days, it's 12, and by 28, it's essentially nothing. So I got this morning, because it's always been a well-known fact that you don't tank mix dual magnum and staple. But when you look at it from a research and literature standpoint, there's no published paper saying that you can't. So we went to take this a step further, really trying to figure out, and we've looked at weed control from this standpoint, found no differences, but we want to look at how it affected the cotton growth and yield. So we got to wonder, were there an anomaly? So we went ahead in 2009 and continued on the research, and here's some pictures of the 3 to 7 day injury that you'd see with glyphosate on the right and the three-way tank mix. The three-way tank mix and glyphosate on the left. So for this trial, glyphosate, there's numerous trade names. In this trial, I use Roundup PowerMax. I don't know what Jason and Donnie and what Eddie used. Of course, pyrethiobacter is staple LX. The dual magnum was S-metolachlor. And the reason we put Pryl-H2O in this trial was that it will have a post-emerge label in 2010. And if dual and staple combinations with glyphosate do cause injury, can you replace the dual with the Pryl and provide some residual control? There's weaknesses and strengths that they both share and don't share. And so we want to see if that was an option for us. The research was a 3x3 factorial and randomized complete block. We looked at glyphosate alone at 0.8 pounds AE, glyphosate plus metolachlor, glyphosate plus Pryl. Factor two was no staple. Staple without a surfactant. Then we looked at staple and we added an NIS at a 0.25% volume per volume. Considering the fact that S-metolachlor is an oil formulation, is an EC, and then glyphosate, the one they used, was a loaded product, would an added surfactant increase injury? Would it decrease weed control, which is another aspect of a sister trial to this? As I said, research was conducted in northwest Louisiana, central Louisiana, myself, and St. Joe in northeast Louisiana by Donnie, and then Jason Bond up at the Delta Research Station in Mississippi. The fact that this was widespread, and all you guys have heard some other talks from researchers in Mississippi and Arkansas and Louisiana, and everybody else experienced it, the large amount of rainfall we had. So we did have some problems, but this kind of gives you in general how we were all pretty close in our planting date and seeding rate, no big effect there. And when the treatments were applied, anywhere from 2 to 3 leaf. Data collected was cotton injury at 3 rating dates, took plant heights and node number at 28 and 43 days, as well as seed cotton yield. Here's probably the biggest picture that we want to look at. If you'll notice here the differences in these locations by rainfalls, you see July 8.5, 11.5, 6, and 3. Around in June, how St. Joe got a really, really dry. Donnie had he was really affected with the amount of injury or lack of injury that he saw, which we'll show out in a minute. But you look at that huge amount of rainfall that Stoneville had. And then, of course, everybody's seed lint yield was affected by the huge amount of rainfall. So the lint yield was skewed by the amount of rainfall, but it was a tough year to do this kind of research over multiple locations. Breaking it out by location, cotton injury at 3 days. So you can see cotton injury on the left from 0 to 40. You've got non-treated control or dual, just nothing, which is just straight glyphosate, or S-metolachlor plus glyphosate, glyphosate plus Pryl. Then you throw in the staple without surfactant to those three, and the staple with surfactant, and of course glyphosate is in every treatment here. And you notice that the statistically, when you tank mix a dual and the staple with glyphosate, you did see an increased injury. Really no difference when you added the NIS to it. The surfactant did caused the prowl plus staple surfactant glyphosate injury to increase, but not really significantly different from when it wasn't there, but it was numerically. Really similar situations were seen in Bossier City in the northwest part of the state as far as injury. The scale's a little bit different, a little bit lower. Mine was 0 to 40, Eddie's was 0 to 20. But we did see more significant injury where the dew was applied with the staple at 3 days after application. At St. Joe, really the main effect of the S-metolachlor prowl, Donnie didn't see anything. When you ask him why, he says it was just dry. It's just dry, nothing really showed up. So that shows you that the lack of rainfall reduced the efficacy of these herbicides as far as injuring the cotton. Jason in Stoneville actually saw a main effect of the dew or the prowl, and the dew was more injurious than the prowl. And then as well as at Stoneville, he saw the main effect of staple. So anywhere he put staple in the tank mix, regardless, he injured the cotton more, showing the injury from the staple LX with and without a surfactant as compared to the checks. The effect on rainfall and cotton injury, which we talked about, so we can point out, as you'll see, I told you Donnie didn't have a lot of injury because he was dry. He had 0.3 inch of rain from emergence to 2 to 3 leaf cotton, which was the time that cotton emerged when we put the treatments out, as you can see there. As far as over the time period, Donnie stayed relatively dry. Stoneville was dry, but they did an irrigation. But Bossier City and I had some differences in rainfall, so that's why we really had this differing data. Nothing really lined up as well as you would hope it would, but how often does it does when you do 4 locations in 1 year and hope to catch lightning in a bottle? Here's some pictures of some injury at Alexandria, my location. Glyphosate alone, glyphosate staple. Glyphosate staple plus the surfactant. You can see the little bit of difference here by adding the surfactant. So it's a double load of surfactant, the Roundup Power Max plus the surfactant I added. Glyphosate dual staple, then the surfactant, then the prowls across the bottom. Just gives you an injury. This is at 3 days after treatment. Here's Jason's pictures from Stoneville where he saw some similar results as far as injury. But by 14 days after treatment, it worked out to where there was just main effects. As what we've seen in the preliminary research that kind of piqued our interest, the amount of injury that we saw was beginning to decrease over time. You know, it just knocks the fire out of that cotton in 3 days. But when you start getting a little bit older, it starts to fade on you. So you can see the main effect. And this is across all locations. It started lining up at 14 days. Of course, more injury with the S-metolachlor average across all other treatments. That's only 5% injury. And then the addition of staple increased injury up to 5%. But we're talking 5% injury at 14 days, guys. At 21 days, there's no difference between dual and prowl. But there was a difference in injury when you added staple without sitting at 3 to 4%. For our plant heights and node numbers, we really wanted to see how, you know, if this treatment, this early season injury, affected plant heights or node numbers. So at Alexandria, you know, both staple treatments and dual treatments reduced heights 4 centimeters by 21 days. Bossier City, all three-way applications reduced plant heights 4 to 6. St. Joe, the fact it was so dry, had no treatment differences in plant heights at 21 days. And in Stoneville, all three-way applications reduced it 2 to 4. So we're looking at 21 days, anywhere from 2 to 6 centimeters, that plant height was reduced. By 43 days, there was no difference. The cotton outgrew it from the plant height. Node number. No, it didn't reduce the node number. It didn't stack the nodes or anything by 21 and 43 days after. So what we saw was just a phytotoxic visual injury. It didn't affect the plant height or the plant node number. Lint yields, I'm just going to show you the basis. Very little differences at each location. So Alexandria, a little bit higher, and you got the different yields anyway, but we all averaged a little less than 600 to a little over 800 pounds of lint per acre. One of the differences, of course, that Jason had told me and Eddie told me and I saw myself, there were some differences out there when you looked at the cotton before it got in the picker, but you can look at the amount of rainfall everybody got in October. So it just completely skewed any differences that we may have had. So therefore, you know, this research will be conducted again. So it was difficult to interpret. Rainfall may have influenced end results 3 days after. The cotton did begin to recover 14 to 21 days after. Plant heights and node numbers were not affected, and lint yields were, in my opinion, skewed by the large amount of rainfall. So we will conduct similar research in 2010. So with that, I'll be happy to answer any questions that you guys may have.
Daniel,
yes, sir.
Additional surfactant, we would never, I'm assuming we would never tell the farmer to put that in there if he's using a loaded glyphosate.
Yeah, definitely.
I reckon my question is, why did y'all put that in there? Just to
pure science.
Trying to increase.
Pure science. Yeah. If a grower goes out and is going to tank mix a dual magnum with the loaded glyphosate, I warn him immediately about this EC formulation with the dual, and if you got a loaded glyphosate, you could increase phytotoxic injury on that cotton. I mean, we make our growers aware of that. The addition of the surfactant with the staple was nothing but pure science.
One thing, just to put a little bit of research I've done in that area, is making the farmer grow aware that that terminal is not hurt. A lot of them go out there, and that's what they're worried about. They see this damage because those cotton plants continue to grow, and the new leaves come out. And you can physically take those plants, grow them over, and still see the leaves that were affected.
Yeah.
That's the only other thing I would look for, but I've never seen it. I'm just curious if maybe y'all have. I'm assuming you have not from the plant heights.
No. No. Yes, sir. The weed control, there was not a huge difference in the species that were controlled. This trial here was actually more of just the phytotoxic effects in the weed control plots. There was not a big difference, but we all agree that it needs to be conducted again. We know there's strengths and weaknesses that Prowl and Dual have. If you're in a nut set situation, of course, Dual's going to be a better choice for you than Prowl. But in all honesty, yes, Prowl was less injurious to cotton at 3 days, but by 14 days it faded. But I'll be flat and honest with you. I'm not going to recommend to a grower that he tank does a three-way tank mix, because at 3 days it's going to freak him out, and he's going to be ticked no matter what I tell him. And I think Syngenta would say the same thing. Any other questions? We were just intrigued by the fact that by 14 and 21, it was gone, and then it didn't reduce yield. So we said, well, let's just figure out why. Any other questions? Appreciate it, guys.